I've slept like 4 hours. We're going to talk about the top five prospects in the draft. It's a Wednesday edition of Locked On Nuggets.
You are Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Thanks for making this your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms, including YouTube, where you can join the chat and get on the comments, like Corey, who lets us know that he slept a full 8 hours last night. Congratulations, Corey. Daniel West is very excited, says, let's go. And Josh Winger, who's always on here, thanks for joining us, Josh. He says, Wednesday. And that's pretty much how I feel. My name is Matt Moore. I'm the senior NBA writer for the Action Network, joined by my co-host, my colleague, my good friend. I've known you a long time now, Adam Mares. You can find him on Twitter at Adam_Mares. Adam, how's your summer going? How are the birds? How's life?
Birds are great. Summer's great. Solstice yesterday. You know that. Big day for me. But I'm excited, man. I really am. I'm not the biggest draft guy, but as we get closer to it each year, my excitement, you know, increases. So we are like max excitement right now for tomorrow night's draft.
Maximum effort. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to do our top five prospects for the Nuggets. We're going to talk about who we think should be on the table for the Nuggets with their picks for Thursday's draft. This is assuming they keep them. This is assuming they do not move those picks, which is entirely possible as they continue to explore trades. Before we get started, can I vent a little bit to you?
Please.
Can I vent? I'm in a surprisingly good mood for like how insane this has been. So I put out a decent amount of reporting. Okay. I prefer to be an analyst. That's where I'm comfortable. Like I like breaking down tape and being like, oh, look at this, what happened here. This guy can't guard and all these types of things and putting perspective on here's how the league works in terms of the agencies and this team prefers X. But like, this is part of the gig and I've done this long enough that I have like enough people to talk to. So like I do these like reporting segments as part of the job and it's just nerve wracking at this time of the year. And what's funny is even the people that engage in this stuff are like, oh, man, this time of year, man, it's so exhausting. And there's so much BS out there. And I'm like, you're literally part of the system. Like we're all part of it. Like everyone's exhausted by it and no one's honest. And yet everyone's like exhausted by like very cynical and skeptical towards us. Like there's a real easy answer. Don't say things that are just, and I will say this, it's not, there's this idea on Twitter that like things are quote made up. And I just disagree with that for the most part. I think there are probably accounts out there, some various people that just will generate things out of thin air. For the most part, though, I think most of the stuff happened at some point. It's just outdated. Or it was, here's an example. If I was to say, like, these two teams have engaged in trade talks over a pick in the top five of the NBA draft, which I've heard from multiple people, but that one team turned it down, did you really engage in talks if one team was like, no, we're not doing that? So anyway, that's like how this time of year goes.
Well, I'll tell you a funny one that I had to pull on when a couple weeks back, or maybe it was a week back, we got the Shams Charania report that PJ Dozier had been cleared for basketball-related activities. And you think, oh my God, it's 5 months from the injury, maybe less, and he's already, you know, back. And then I reached out to In Street Clothes, who we both know, and he says, yes, that's terminology for he's able to like work out again or like run basketball. He's not cleared to play. He's cleared to like shoot jump shots and run up and down a court as part of his rehab. And I was like, oh, that makes a lot more sense. Like, so it's one of those things. A lot of people wrote me like, he's ready to go. He's going to be ready for camp. It's like, no, he's just able to like move.
Yeah. But hey, 4 months from now, good things could be. I'm excited. I mean, it's weird for me. Usually I can't wait for summer. I can't wait for time off. And now I can be honest with you. I'm kind of like, I'm ready to go. Like I'm ready for this next season. I'm ready for free agency. I'm ready to like dive into a new, I think the basketball.
I think you have low sleep delirium right now. Like that's, you're drinking an energy drink. You didn't sleep. I think you think you're ready to go.
You think you're ready. Let's get it. Well, I think we're ready to start talking about our top five picks for the Nuggets. So the Nuggets have two picks in Thursday's draft in the bottom 10 of the first round. We're just going to talk about prospects on the board. This is basically like a Nuggets kind of big board look about like reasonable options for the Denver Nuggets.
Top five reasonable options, you could say it. And always is the case, the guys at the top of the list are going to be like, maybe it's not reasonable. Maybe they're actually going at 16 or 17.
Or 13, right?
Or 13, who knows? Surprise everybody.
There are always reaches that you can find. So, Adam, I'll ask you right off the bat, because I need you to guide this conversation, as you're more versed on the draft guys than I am. I've done the research, but I need you to guide.
You're not always thinking about it just from Denver, yeah.
Right. What's your number one option on the board for the Denver Nuggets?
Matt, we have, as of today, a new number one. Woo! This is how fluid my board is. He was number two. He's now moved up to number one. It's Achai Agbaji out of Kansas, the champion. I think this guy, he's a 3-and-D. 6 foot five and a half, 6 foot six. He's got good length on him. Reminds me stylistically almost as a cross between Gary Harris and Malik Beasley. And I mean that sincerely. He might not be as good as, you know, either of those guys at their top skill, but he's a great shooter. His shot actually reminds me a lot of Malik Beasley's shot. It just, like, the balance on it, the way he elevates, the way it looks. When he gets hot, they just all go in, nothing but net. Like, he's the type of guy that just gets locked into his own, quick release, and they all go in. So he's got that 3-point shooting. He's also got the Malik Beasley athleticism. It might not quite be to Malik Beasley's level, although it might be. Kansas ran a lot of lobs for him. He was a really good backdoor cutter because you have to play him so tight for the three. He's got a great, like, setup and then dive to the basket, finishes with tomahawk dunks, a la Malik Beasley. And then on the other end of the court, where I say they're kind of a mix is he kind of has Gary Harris's defense to him, and that he's very good laterally, very quick, very strong. I don't know that I'm not sure if he's going to be like a shutdown type guy, like a Drew Holiday. I don't think he's that level defender, but I do think he might be closer to a Gary Harris type defender where there's going to be matchups where he looks really, really elite. So I like him, a two-way player, fits an immediate need for the Nuggets, but also has upside to me as a guy that might be like a starting caliber player.
The stats for him, 19.8 points per game at Kansas, national champion, Kansas Jayhawks. Boo, I'm from Missouri. 41% from three on 209 attempts, which is that's exactly what you want to see, right?
And especially good from the corners, which is you start to think about where a guy's going to be standing on the court. He's a guy probably going to find himself in the corners.
215-pound frame on 6'4.5". That's kind of what I've seen, especially in some of the stuff I've heard, is that he looks really strong in workouts. That's one of the things that has really shown up for NBA people, is like, he looks really strong, which that makes sense because he's a senior. So he's 22.
Right.
The reason that Agbaji's kind of mocked somewhere between like 14 and 20 in most places.
I've seen him as low as 21. Mm-hmm. So like I've seen like on respectable mocks where he's right there at the 21.
And I'll tell you, I think that as is pretty typical for a 22-year-old, I think that there is movement towards other guys. If you're in the lottery, you want young dudes because you want multiple years. You're like, we're away. We need time. Right. We don't have to rush this. If you're the Nuggets, though, I think it's fine if you take a 22-year-old. I don't think you have to like mold them, especially when you have younger guys on the roster like Bones and Zeke. I think you have, like, if you want the youth guys that are going to develop, you have those assets. Agbaji, I think, could come in and compete right away for a 3-and-D spot, be able to provide what they want. Like, great defensively. I was really impressed with he's able to get up into guys, and I think that's really important. Long enough, tall enough to be able to defend. Like, he's in that nice middle space between 6'3" and 6'6", 6'7", where it's like he can guard guys, the taller shooting guards at 6'6", and he can guard the smaller guys at 6'2". And that switchability, I think, is going to be really important. He, to me, seems like a very good fit. This is a good question from CJ, actually. I want to start with CJ Morgan. Is Agbaji a player you would trade up for?
Yeah. It really just depends on what you're trading. If it's 21 and 30, maybe. Maybe that is. Because here's how I look at it, Matt. I mean, the Nuggets obviously have an immediate need, right? They're in win-now mode. So if you had a backcourt that featured Jamal Murray and Bones Highland, I think those guys are mainstays. And let's say you bring in a defender like a KCP. Maybe it's a Thybulle, maybe it's a KCP, maybe it's somebody else, but somebody who's sort of penciled in as your starting defensive guy. So that's three guys in your rotation. If you brought in Agbaji, I think he would compete for that fourth guard spot. And then you would probably only need to bring in somebody like an Austin Rivers, which is like, throughout the season, those guys can compete for those minutes. And if you get to a playoffs and Agbaji, it's like, okay, it's getting more complicated. you can go back to Austin Rivers as your default defensive guy. Or if Agbaji is at 22 years old, more mature, comes around, develops throughout the year, and he gets to that point, he's a better, you know, he could be a better player than an Austin Rivers and replace him. So to me, that's why I think he fits, is there's a path to him being a player in a playoff series, or at the very least the 10th guy and playing above an Austin Rivers level player, as opposed to somebody that's just basically a redshirt rookie.
I think one of the things I like best, Agbaji's number one on my board, by the way, as well.
Okay.
We're in sync there.
Look at that. Wow, and we agreed on something.
Yeah, that's shocking because we didn't clear this beforehand. So I think one of the good things about this, I like that he's not he's so versatile and has all these things. Not so much. Like, he shot 27% on pull-up twos. Like, there's not a lot of shiftiness there. He's not going to be a guy that you can put the ball in his hands and be like, let's go, like, let him create. Not right away. Maybe he develops that over time because these guys are young, still 22. But I like that. I think it's good to draft guys that are like, this is who I'm going to be in the league. I'm going to defend, and I'm going to shoot, like, spot up threes and then make cuts. If you have those three things capable and you have athleticism, what Agbaji does, I think you're a great fit for what Denver's looking for with a draft pick. Are you good if we take a break?
Do it.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the rest of our big board for the Denver Nuggets. But first, I want to tell you about Bet Online, your number one source for all your sports betting needs and info. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball. You can also bet on the NBA draft. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sports wagering information. They've got live betting, esports, and scores updated constantly. And betonline.net remains the best spot for all your scores, podcasts, and news. They're the fastest and easiest way to check in on your favorite sports teams and events. And you can get on things like MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Bet Online, where the game starts. We'll be right back on Locked On Nuggets. Back here on Locked On Nuggets, thanks for making this part of your day and your first listen each and every day. We're free and available on all platforms. One live NBA draft show is not enough for Locked On. Every show is going live on draft night. So join me 15 minutes after the pick for the Nuggets at Locked On Nuggets on YouTube for the immediate reaction from your local expert. Subscribe now to Locked On Nuggets so you know when we go live. Also want to let you know, if you're a Denver business, you want to support the show, you want to get access to a whole range of listeners, we got advertising spots open. Hit us up. Let us know if you're interested. Things are going quickly. If you want to be associated with great brands like Built Bar, which I'm not going to do the read for right now, but that's what you can do right now. Second segment here on Locked On Nuggets. Adam, who's number two on?
Well, real quick, we do have, I think, a little bit of a reporting coming out of Philadelphia right now. That's kind of a bummer, in my opinion. It's James Harden is headed towards opting into his $47 million player option,
yep.
But then adding 2 years onto the end of that. The reason I say it's disappointing is, you know, Philly was going to be in a tight spot if they offered that like 5-year max to James Harden, because I just think that that's a very scary place to be committing there. One plus two more years on top of it, that feels to me like a really good – that puts Philly in a good spot. So just got something interesting. I didn't know if he would want to do a deal like that. Usually when you're at that age, you want to secure as much money as you can. It's your last big payday.
Yep.
But it sounds like he might be more willing to secure or to just commit to basically 3 years there.
Yeah. I'm expecting Philly to make a lot of moves, and that's already been, I was not surprised when I heard that Tobias Harris, Matisse Thybulle were on the block.
Right.
Like,
right.
They're going to reconfigure that roster. So look, I think the Sixers are going to be really good next year.
I think so too. I think they have a smaller window, but that's why this fits into that smaller window. It doesn't hamstring them. So, but the thing is that I keep thinking is, this is an aside of course, but Daryl Morey always simplifies everything. He just knows now you have Harden, you have Embiid. That's your offense. The rest of the guys are just going to be spot-up shooters. And so that's why I wonder sometimes. I never really considered a Thybulle. I like him in Denver. I think he'd be really interesting. In his flaws, I think, are mitigated playing next to Jokic more than they would be just about anywhere else. Will Barton probably fits the mold of the type of player Philly wants. He can shoot the three. He's long. And, you know, he's just a guy that you kind of use to space the floor and has to be guarded. So I don't know if that deal is going to happen. I haven't heard any buzz on it, but it makes a little bit of sense if both sides were interested.
I used to be really high on him. I did the defensive film work on him, and I was like blown away. He really is incredible in terms of being a playmaker, and over time, I think he'll get better. I think I have a lot of questions about if he's going to be viable on the court as an offensive guy, and I have some questions about decision-making too. in
defensive decision making,
all decision making. So
I don't worry about his offensive decision making. I just don't think he'll touch the ball. But it would be he would be a guy that I think would be an annoying regular season player, and probably in the playoffs wouldn't matter that much. I mean, like his flaws wouldn't matter as much.
All right, so give me number two on your Nuggets big board.
This is almost a begrudging number two. I kind of feel like I have to put him here because it makes the most sense, but it's Tari Eason. I don't know why I'm so low on him. I think, man, it might be that I'm plagued by the report that he is like, you know, maybe not the highest IQ player and has been slow developing that part of his game. That's like one of my things I can't get over. But he does have a lot of the physical tools, athleticism, length, defensive upside that Denver desperately needs. I do think that if the Nuggets got him, I'd be excited. That's why he's number two on my board. I would just be excited, wrapped in a little bit of worry.
Yeah, look, I'll just say that there's a lot of concern, I think, from the folks I've talked to about Eason. And I hate to talk about these things because I don't think it's fair, right? And you ask these questions and they're like, well, I want to answer your question, but they're not trying to like drop the guy's stock either. I have some concerns based off of those kind of the conversations about how workouts have gone with Eason. At the same time, look, he, you know, played at LSU, almost 6'7", 37% from three on 73 point attempts, which is a pretty decent amount in college. Not a ton, but it's a decent amount. Known as a really physical guy. Like, he brings a physicality that might be good. The questions are about he gets a little out of control a lot of the time. And the question I think is like, I would be worried that Eason is a guy that they would draft based off of tools. Shout out TJ McBride. And would wind up not like he would be the guy that everyone's frustrated is not playing. That it's like Malone's not playing the rookie. And it's because like his decision-making is not where it needs to be for them to be able to function. Like, he's just too mistake prone. So I think that's kind of the reason that I have him not on the board for the Nuggets. I also, you know, look, there's conversation. I've heard talk of him at 17. We'll see if he gets there. Right. That's what's crazy. Eason could go 17 or 28 and I wouldn't be surprised. Like,
he seems to me even more likely than Agbaji to go before Denver's pick. Just in like most of, I only say that because most of the mocks have him ahead of Agbaji by one or two or three spots. So I don't even know if he'll be available. He'd be interesting. Here's my other fear, Matt, is guys that need development, are they going to get the opportunity to? That's one of the things that, like in Denver, if he comes in and it's like, hey, this guy clearly needs a year, where does he get in? Where does he develop? Is it in the G League? I don't know if that would be the plan for him. So he's just a little bit more confusing. But maybe his defense and length and athleticism, it just shines and it's exactly what Denver needs.
This one is a little bit of a reach. I don't think he's going to be there, especially given the buzz for him after the combine. But sometimes the guys that get a big push after the combine then fade as we get into the later in the draft week. Right. It's Jalen Williams. So 6'6", 21, a little bit older, right? Coming out of Santa Clara forward. Shot 39.6 on 106 threes last year, 18 points per game, 4 assists. I think he's got a lot of versatility. I think if you're looking at this and you're saying – we need a veteran defender to come in through trade, which I think is, or free agency. And I think that's what the Nuggets are targeting. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to take a guy that can play forward that jumps out of the gym. His athleticism at the combine was like absolutely ridiculous.
He doesn't jump out of the gym though in the games though. It's worth noting. He's a weird athlete where he has incredible measurables athletically, but doesn't always use them.
So I'm going real zigging the zag here, and the what I'm trying to say is, okay, so we know he has this athleticism, but he doesn't use it in games. 2 years of professional NBA strength training and development, they unlock that.
Right.
You know, some of the talk is about he struggles a little bit with finishing, which that always is kind of like with me. But I look at it and I go, okay, if he has those tools, maybe he looks better. There's a lot of conversation about how he's a little bit slow defensively on the perimeter. I've seen guys not be tagged high as defenders in college, and then when they get to the pros, that's where they put their effort on, and that's how they – it just kind of depends on who's in his ear. If you have the right people in your ear that are like, you can make a lot of money being a top defensive guy, then they're able to kind of transition. I've seen guys be bad in college and be great in the pros and vice versa. And right, so right. like Marcus Smart was not tagged as like an elite defender coming out of college. And so
really
like Smart was a scorer. If you remember OK State, he was like putting massive scoring.
I thought he was both. Jalen Williams to me has kind of almost got some PJ Dozier to his game. I think he's maybe a little bit, I know because a lot of people talk about him almost more defensively, which is funny because a lot of the scout on him is his pick and roll feel. Like he's a really good pick and roll player. I like him. He's number six. He didn't make my top five on my list in part because what you're talking about. I think he, to me, he seems a little bit more of an offensive player than defensive player. He would be elite, I think, playing pick and roll with Jokic, but I don't know if that would be his role. And I don't know if that's what Denver needs. So I really like him and I'd be thrilled if Denver got him. I just wouldn't make as much sense for an immediate need.
This is going to be, it's great because if they were to draft him, it basically would be Will Barton, but because he's young, Nuggets fans would like him and not hate him. It'd be great. It'd be.
I don't think he has that shot selection though. So I don't know if he would be that, but your point still stands about how you value people based on what role they have, how much money they make and how long they've been here.
All right. Give me number three on your board.
Number three for me, Dalen Terry.
Okay.
Another guy I'm pretty excited about. I do worry about him a little bit. He has a little bit more boom bust potential because I think he could be a guy that way outperforms his draft slot. And he's long, very athletic, does a little bit of everything, seems to be the type of role player you need that can be a slasher, can shoot a little bit, not great, can guard a lot of positions, good in transition. Like he has a lot of these, you can start stacking a lot of the skills. I don't know that he's elite at any of them. And sometimes when you project the guy to become elite at any one thing, it doesn't happen. So I think I've comped him to like Jeremy Lamb to where he might be a guy that's a great slasher and becomes more of a Mikal Bridges type where he can do a lot of things and he has length, or he might just be Jeremy Lamb, which has a lot of the same physical attributes and even stylistically similar attributes, but just doesn't have them to the degree that you need. So he's an interesting one, but he also, like Tari Eason, almost scares me a little bit.
Yeah,
but he's number three. So I like. I clearly like him.
Right, 6'6". That's pretty good. 36% on 77 threes last season. Known for, he's a very well rounded prospect. He's under 20, which I think is good. What role do you see Terry having? Like, what position, generally speaking, because positions are obviously fluid. What do you see him kind of being in the NBA?
Well, first of all, I think 6'6 is his no shoes height. I think he's actually 6'7. So I think he'd be a little bit taller than, say, a Will Barton. And I think he's a three. I think he's probably a small forward that plays like a Davon Reed. He can be a two, but he's probably best as a three.
All right. My third is, again, I'm reaching a little bit here as we look at who's available on these things. It's EJ Liddell. That's the guy that I think actually.
This is such a Matt pick.
Why? Why is this such a Matt pick?
Well, you know his comp. Do you know what his comp is?
Who?
His comp is Paul Millsap.
Oh, that's great. Now he's number one. Now he's number one for me. Number one in my heart. Yeah. I love the physicality. I just like what he brings to the table. 21.5. Shot 38% on 112 threes. 37.5% rather. He's got a lot of versatility. He's 6'5.5, 243. He's a truck, much like Paul Millsap. He's known as like a real hustle guy, which that's what I heard about. Is like he works really hard. I like guys that bring that to the table. At Ohio State, I like guys out of that program. You know what's weird?
Really?
Here's what's weird. I'm very down on like the Big Ten as a conference, as terms of like the teams and my respect for them. But I like almost all Big Ten players in the NBA. I don't know why. I'm not sure what the correlation is there. But he's a beast, man. And I just feel like you need some muscle. You need some force. And I feel like he's a guy that can bring that. I think he's a guy that Malone would love. And look, there's not like he's got shooting, right? So that's not really an issue. He's not going to need to be like a multiple level scorer. It's just like, hey, you could be a really versatile guy that does a lot of things defensively and is not a liability on offense. That to me sounds like a great fit for the Nuggets.
Yeah. I don't,
You're low. I can tell you. This is not a pick you like.
No, because I actually do like him. I like him and Malachi Brown. I'm also from Ohio State. Both of those guys. I just don't know that they're fit. That they fit with what Denver needs.
Really?
I'm also a little leery, and maybe this is something I shouldn't be because there's always other moves to be had. But I'm a little nervous about bringing in guys that fill a similar niche as Zeke Nagy. And I think those two guys, like at some point, very quickly, you'd probably have to decide between the two of them. Maybe Denver's okay with that. But it just seems to me like I don't think you could develop both of those guys alongside each other.
Yeah, I'm not – I think Zeke is capable of being a good player. I'm not as high on Zeke, I think, as you are. And I think,
but I mean, I'm high on Zeke being not a great player. Like, I'm high on the fact that you need a guy that only makes $5 million a year and maybe fills an important role.
You think you shouldn't draft EJ Liddell because he might be too good? Is that?
Well, I mean, I just think like you have to have somebody in that spot. I don't know that he's going to be too good like right away.
Yeah.
I think it's more of like, let's give him time and maybe he becomes a part of your big three or four. And it's like, well, is Denver looking for that right now?
Yeah. Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about our fourth and fifth picks on the board as we continue on Locked On Nuggets. But first, it's that time, friends. I must tell you about Built Bar and the new coconut brownie chunk puff. What a combination of words. For the people who invented healthy and tasty, comes the latest gift to your taste buds. You probably tried the amazing coconut brownie chunk Built Bar, but guess what? Your friends at Built Bar have given coconut brownie chunk the puffs treatment. That's right. Coconut brownie chunk Built Bar flavors you love in a deliciously chewy marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate. It's like a fluffy cloud of coconut brownie goodness. But stop drooling and listen. They're good for you. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, all delicious. You can check out the macros over at Built.com. Go to Built.com. Make sure you don't miss out. They're going fast because they taste amazing. All Built Bars are made with collagen protein, which helps your body absorb more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. Delicious coconut, rich sweet brownie, creamy marshmallow. Stop fantasizing. Go to Built.com to order your box of coconut brownie chunk Built Puffs right now. Go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and get 10% off your order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at Built.com. We'll be right back on Locked On Nuggets. Back here on Locked On Nuggets. Thanks for making this part of your day and your first listen each and every day. I want to let you know the first picks of the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft have been made. Search now for Ultimate NBA Mock Draft and get over 50 insiders, the Odyssey Sports experts, and the draft experts of Locked On NBA Big Board. The 5-episode Ultimate NBA Mock Draft is underway. Make Ultimate NBA Mock Draft your second listen today. I'm cracking up because Josh Winger is losing his mind in my Built Bar ad. I'm just cracking up in the comments. You guys got to get on YouTube and join the show if you can. We usually record this around 10 o'clock Mountain Time. All right, Adam Mares, I need to know who's number four on your Nuggets big board.
Number four, coming in at number four, Marjan Beauchamp, who came in the other day, solidified himself a little bit in my mind. I just really enjoyed the interview. He's taller than I thought. We talked about this the other day. But he's taller. I mean, he looked to me like a real true 6'7", had a great NBA body. And then his shot looked really nice to me. I think he's going to be a good shooter. He's a great defender, great length, fills a need that Denver has. Teammates with Michael Porter Jr. back in the day, back in high school. So there's a little bit of a connection there. I just really liked him. I was very impressed with him. And if Denver got him, 21 feels almost a little early. 30 feels a little late. He's projected to go like 25, 26. So Denver might have to make a decision on how they handle it. But I like him. I'd be excited to watch him if Denver got him. I like how Zamora put this. He's a great backup plan. And I think that's might be how I would phrase it. He's not my number one or number two guy, but if your number one or two guys are gone, he would be a guy that I would feel like, okay, it's a good, you got your second option.
You're not going to be like, oh,
if you get right,
Beauchamp, you're going to be like, oh, look at Marjan Beauchamp. That's good. Yeah, and like, look, there's a lot of trade options, especially in this draft. Boy, there are a lot of trade options. And so there's a lot of options here to maybe move back and still be able to get Marjan Beauchamp. If you can't move up and you can't get a veteran with the picks, maybe you move back a few spots and you can take Beauchamp, because I do think you're right that he'll be on the board. Maybe somebody leaps for him because he has been doing really well in workouts. You know, the shooting is an interesting element here in that we came in to the workout, the end of the workout. Let's be very clear on this. We got to see like 15 minutes and like the shot, you were like, when I walked into the workout, I got there like 5 minutes late and you were like shot looks really good. Yep. And
immediately, it was like one of those immediate things that you're, that's one of the things you're looking for. And I was like, oh yeah, like that.
And the Nuggets people said the same thing, which is like, the shot looks really good, which is, you know, that's, that shows the work that he's put in for him to be a 24% 3-point shooter, only 33 attempts with the Ignite, and then come in and really look this good in workouts. Like, that's a good sign. You haven't seen it in game. So it's entirely possible that he's like a workout shooter rather than an in-game shooter. That's got to be a concern, I think. But he does a lot of what I think that he checks a lot of boxes, I think, for the Nuggets. He is 21 and a half, which for a night guy is a little bit interesting to have an older guy in that regard. But he's got a 7'1 wingspan. He's got a 7'1 wingspan at 6'5. So
yeah, it's, I'm telling you, his body, like the med, like just even looking at him, I'm like, yeah, that looks like a Mikal Bridges or, you know, one of those guys. He has the perfect body for that.
Why go trade for Matisse Thybulle if you think you might be able to get a guy like Marjan Beauchamp with a late pick for less? You got anything else on Beauchamp?
No, I just really like him. I'm intrigued by him. The only other note is at practice, he was asked about playing with Michael Porter. He said he's unbelievable, superstar for sure. People don't realize. He was like kind of raving about, you guys don't even know what's about to happen, which I always love. Like, Michael Porter Jr. gets the most of those. Do you remember in Summer League? But Mike Porter ended up getting hurt during the Summer League ramp up. But do you remember every player at the Summer League thing was like, this guy's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
So it's always funny. I know like we're past that with Michael Porter. He's been here 4 years. We've kind of had these moments, but it is just funny to me how many players talk about him specifically as, like, you ask him about all these other players and he's like, oh, he's great. He's a great player. And you get to Michael Porter, he's like, oh my God, you guys don't even realize.
You're like, oh man. Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it. Is what
that's what they say. It, honestly. And look, I think not that this is a reason to draft a guy, but it's a nice, like, it's a nice bonus. It's a cherry on top. Having a guy in the locker room for MPJ wouldn't, I think, be the worst thing. I think having a guy that he feels like he can trust, that he's guys with. Now, there's always downsides to that, but I do think that.
No, I think this is a good example of that, though. It just, the sense I got from talking to him.
Okay, and your fifth. Oh, I'll give you mine. Mine was fourth. Was Marjan too? So we're in agreement there. So our first and fourth options we're in alignment on. Our second and third, neither of us have mentioned, and we're in different places on. So,
well, the fifth one is my most outside the box one. Okay. But I really like him. I don't know why he's as low as he is. It's Wendell Moore. Yeah. Most mocks have him 33 or so. He's kind of along the same lines as a lot of these guys we're talking about, 3-and-D player. He is more of a jack of all trades, I think, than all of the guys we've talked about so far outside of Achai Obaji.
Yeah.
In that, I don't think he has anything that marks bad. Like, he kind of marks a B across the board at all these things. He guards well, including on ball. He shoots well. He's not elite, but he shoots well. He cuts well. He finishes well. He just does everything, I think, at a good level. And I think his ceiling maybe is a little bit lower than you know, Obaji or even Beauchamp. But I think that his floor might be higher and he might be a little bit more ready now than a Dalen Terry, for example.
6'4", 21 years old, 41% from three on 100 3-point attempts. That popped off the page to me a little bit. Not explosive. Doesn't like jump off of the screen, which is why I think that he's probably not getting the buzz, is if you're picking
up. And it's funny because that's one thing where over the last few years, that's how many guys have fallen because of that.
Yeah.
It's like, I just don't know what his upside is, that because he doesn't have it. And sometimes it's true, but sometimes it's like, yeah, that doesn't matter. Like, if you're good and talented, then there's ways around him. I don't know which one he is, but it's just an interesting negative.
I think it also, but part of this gets into the nature of, there are guys that are secure in there, so they will, I think, take a different approach. But scouting is often like most jobs in basketball is pretty fraught in terms of getting retained and moving up and those type of things.
Right.
You want to be the guy that found he was the one that told us about this guy and he was like a star. And the reality is, like, you know, the GM's going to get the credit, but that's how that works.
It's just funny, like, guys like Marquise Chris that have, like, you just watch a scouting report on him and you're like, this guy doesn't have anything to be excited about, except he's got the perfect body and he jumps out the gym. And you're like, all right, so you, and that doesn't happen the other way. Like, it's very rare that a player has all the talents, but none of that. So it's just interesting to me.
he's, I'll say this, he when I watch him, he looks like a very smart player. I don't see him as super mistake prone defensively, and that obviously for me is always like, that's just that pulls at my heartstrings. A guy that doesn't make mistakes on defense, that I'm not going to be like, I don't want to have to be constantly like giving the side eye to TJ McBride at games, or Ryan Blackburn being like, another mistake from the young guy. So also wonderful name. Going to be annoying for me if they draft him. Going to be very annoying. Don't know if I can handle that with everyone be like, what are your thoughts on Moore? And I'm like, and that's going to cause my circuits to wipe out a little bit. Okay. Five. Wendell Moore's my five too. So you were in alignment on 1, 3, and 5.
Wow. That I thought that one was for sure not going to be right.
Why?
I thought we were going to be different there.
Why?
I don't know. He's just like a little bit off the radar.
I like him a lot. I like, again, there's certain programs I gravitate towards. You know, and Duke had a good season, but not like an amazing one. It wasn't like the superstar stacked team. But look, I think a lot of it for me is if I respect the coach, and I think that these coaches identified you as a guy, I tend to be like, I gravitate towards them. I'm that way with Izzo. I'm that way with Krzyzewski. So I think there's at Duke, I think him being a quality player on a team of that caliber matters. I just do.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because there's a bunch of guys from Kansas, the national champion, and Duke in this range, which is rare, right? Like the and it shows you how the draft has evolved too. I think the Ignite has something to do with this, but there's also just like a lot of different ones in there. So, okay, it's gonna wrap it up for Locked On Nuggets. You got anything else for today?
Well, just quick guys here. You mentioned Jalen Williams. Blake Wesley is a guy that I'm really intrigued by. He's almost the B version of Jalen Williams to me. Another guy that has like some length, pick and roll play. You know, the negatives on him, not a great one-on-one player. Don't care. So he's another guy. Jake LaRabia is another interesting one. You get down, there's two bigs, Christian Coloco, Walker Kessler. I don't know if Denver goes centers, but I wouldn't be surprised if they went centers. So those two guys, Christian Coloco's athletic, out of Cameroon, and then via Arizona, played with Zeke Nnaji. Really seems like a great character guy, good worker. I liked him a lot. Walker Kessler is like a Jakob Poeltl type. And then, of course, David Roddy, who if Denver only took one guy and it was David Roddy, that would be that maybe I wouldn't love that, but there's a chance David Roddy falls late in the draft and they're able to pick him up at like 50 or something if you buy a pick, or maybe goes undrafted and becomes a two-way. The best outcome tomorrow is if Denver somehow gets David Roddy as an undrafted two-way player.
Mike, what do you think of Caleb Houston?
We went over him yesterday. I don't think I liked him very much.
Really?
I don't, he's one of the guys that I think I deleted, you know, from my like...
Wow.
Straight recall.
6'8". I liked what I saw from him in terms of the shot. 35.5%. He's got really good feel for the game. Again, these are like mistake-free guys. And guess what? Another Big Ten dude. So I kind of like him as an option. I will tell you, he's getting some first-round buzz along with... This one is the one that I think that most of the draft picks are very surprised by. Is Trevor Keels is getting a ton of buzz out of Duke. 6'3". So a little bit more of like
downhill driver.
You know, does he have the athleticism to be able to hang? Does he have a floater? Those are kind of questions. And his shot wasn't super consistent, 31% from three. So there's all these kind of things, but guys really like Trevor Keels. He didn't play much. So I think it'd be interesting to look at it. All right, that's going to do it for Locked On Nuggets. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode. On the day of the NBA draft, get you set. We'll look at the news, the information, what we're hearing. We'll let you all know about it. Have a great day. Enjoy yourselves. Thanks for listening. See you again on Locked On Nuggets.